Anyway, I'll be angry. You don't hear?
No.
Perhaps the... Was it audible last week? Very good. I'm afraid it will. Because to say sheer, we had the benefit of it. Now it's good. But it depends upon the position of my head. All my praise. Now you hear? All right, but if something should happen, so tell me. It's apparently there is a possibility of having to control the matter. Anyway, we read the last Shabbat's Vayechi. In this Vayechi, we concluded, the reading of Chumash Breishis, and as I have repeated so many times, that everybody that you should remember, the Rambam calls Sefer HaSimonim, the book of symbols or blueprints. Blueprints. Now it came to a close. We already at Milche, we are reading the second book, this is Shmes. Now, as a matter of fact, if the Torah had been interested only in the story of the Bnei Yisrael and the development of Golus Mitzrayim, how it happened, and the Torah traced this story quite carefully with Joseph and the envy which he generated by exhibiting the multicolored shirt, is it audible? Is it audible, Rabbi Ries? Is it audible? All right, okay. I thought that you were asleep. You want us to? You want us to? I know. All right. Anyway, the Torah could have finished Vayigash. Vayigash. Take up the Chumashim without the Chumashim. Vayigash. What was the last pasuk in Vayigash? Vayeshiv Yisrael beretz Mitzrayim beretz Knegeshen vayiochazuvo vayifu vayirbu meid. In other words, this is the story how the Jews came to Mitzrayim, and the Torah gives us one passage, one sentence. How the Jews, their experiment was very successful, and the Jew multiplied and became stronger and stronger economically in every era, in every undertaking. The Jew was prominently known, and it was known and was very successful. Now what comes, what should the Torah said right away after that? Forgetting about Vayechi, and say, Ve'elu Shmeiz Bnei Yisrael Aboyim Mitzrayim. Or since the Rabban says that Ve'elu Shmeiz Bnei Yisrael Aboyim Mitzrayim as Yaki Vishu Beisri Bo, is because it is due to the fact that the Torah has interrupted the story of the immigrants in Mitzrayim and began to tell the story of Jacob's last years. Jacob's Levaye, Jacob's burial, Jacob's Savoye, but all that was unnecessary apparently. I mean, we could have gotten along without it. And right after Vayigash, Vayokam Melachotnu Yaakov Eretz Kanaan, would have been no need even to mention the Shvatim, the names of the Shvatim. Because we mentioned it about the measure. In the Torah they are mentioned already in Vayigash, so why repeat? So the Ramban says because he interrupted the continuity. Why did he interrupt the continuity? It means by recording the death of Jacob, of Yaakov. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Torah picked up the theme by repeating the theme of the immigration, the scene of the story of immigration, by repeating a couple of sentences as to the last, as to the sum total of what happened, to the events which happened. Yeah. But actually the Torah had not reported about Vechi Yaakov Eretz Kna'an. They would not report. Yaakov died in Kna'an. So the Torah is what would have been no need, I mean, to repeat a few psukim. So the question rises, the Ramban is right. But the question rises, and it's a very important question. Why did the Torah interrupt? Vechi is a story of whom? Basically, the story of Vechi is the story of Yaakov. These are Yosef. Yosef comes in. But the story of Yaakov. Yaakov 17 years in Israel. And there the theory, I mean, abbreviated, I mean, it's a very short story. But there are apparently basic parshas in Vayechi which the theory could not get along with. And the theory had to tell us the story of Vayechi. In order, I mean, to explain something to us, which is of great importance. What? What was missing in the Torah? What would have been missing in the Torah if the Torah had not told us the story of Vayechi, but finishing the story of Vayigash, Vayeochezu, when they struck root in Mitzrayim, the Torah would have started to write, Ve'ele Shmei Zmei Yisrael, ויוקם אל החודש על מצרים של יודס מצרים ויום עשו יסו וכל היכול להדיר אבו what would have been missing? Apparently it's very important to know the stories which the Torah has recorded in Vayechi in order for us to understand the golus of the Jews in Mitzrayim. Secondly, basic truth, basic tenets, basic verities about Knesset Yisrael and its relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to expression in Vayechi. I don't know how much I'll be able to cover today, tonight, but I would like to know what are they. That the Torah interrupted the narrative? The Torah interrupted the narrative. The narrative is concerned, was concerned with one motif, with one theme, namely, the immigration of the people, of the 70 members of the household, of Jacob's household to Mitzrayim. And for that, the Torah laid out a plan of Mechivas Yosef, a strategic plan. And finally the objective was achieved. And the Torah and the Yaakov was new settlers, and immigrants in Mitzrayim. Enough. Then tell what happened to the Bnei Yaakov. No, the Torah wanted to know. It tells us a story about Jacob, a very moving story. And apparently Jacob is Israel's sovereign. Jacob is more than any other Av, than any other patriarch, the representative, the image of the people. My service is similar to him, but the outstanding representative of the people. Who his image reflects the very essence of the people, whose father he was. As a matter of fact, the people are called Israel. People are not called Avram. Don't. When you say Avram, you mean an individual. When you say Yitzhak, you mean an individual. When you say Israel or Yaakov, he's not always individual. On the contrary, in many cases outside of Chumash, Bereishis, Yisroel is a collective name, I mean, related to whom? To the people as such, to the people, to the nation. Am Yisroel Chai, to the nation. Apparently it's very important to know what kind of a nation, who the customers were, whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected as his partners. So it was a strange partnership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, I mean, he chose them. They did not come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for that he should sign a covenant with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. So apparently they are very important. I don't know whether I can cover them, it's certainly not. But first of all, First of all, halachically, what is there in Vayechi, which is important to us from the standpoint of halacha? Not rush, not philosophy, nothing. Just from plain halacha. From the standpoint, from the viewpoint of the Yeredeh. What is it? What? Shimel? What? Shiva. It's halachic. Because you know there is a group of Rishonim, quite a large group of Rishonim, a very large group of Rishonim, who are of the opinion that all 7 days of Avelis are min Hateret. It's not mid Rabbanan. The Genim had many like them. Shilta is the Alachas Delis, the Genim are of Haigoyen and all them. They're of the opinion that not only Yom Rishon is mid Raisa, but Shiva Sayomim is mid Raisa. Where's the Moker? Where's the source for 7 days mid Raisa? We ask Lord Egel, Abel Shiva Sayomim. So what was the answer which the Rambam and Rav Alfes, the members is in Yerushalayim mentioned? Abel Shiva Sayomim as the source of Aloche is mentioned in Yerushalayim. However, what was the answer that the Rambam gave and Rav Alfes Rav Alfes reply, mit no teiro v'nishat shalach. True, that before Matan Teire, the Oveis used to observe a village consisting of 70 days, of 7 days, but lacha Matan Teire is a new Teire, new Alochis, and the 7 days are le'mailu le'mered, are neither significance, nor. Maybe there was no 7 days. Midiraisa, in a Teira, she knows someone Meshe B'Sinai. Midiraisa is only there is 1 day of events. Mechaltaye, but not 7 days of events. I would like to ask something which I don't know. I have not come across Achreinim or Balei Mechabrim who raised this question, but the question is so simple that everybody, or even I would say a Talmud, a child in a day school, in a cheder should ask this question. What is the question? And I'll tell you frankly, I'm afraid somebody is asking, I don't know. I mean, so perhaps, all right, I'll be grateful for that, too. Perhaps you may read the story from Vayas Lovich, Eber Shulishyami. Vayal Yosef ligi beresavi. Just you'll take the context. Vayalu iti kolav de fare. Zikne veisei v'chal zikne yaret v'tzrayim. So it means the funeral consisted not only of Jews. Yeah, they of course they joined, but of Mitzrim as well, the highest aristocracy. Vayal. ויאלו איתי כולב דפארי זיקני ויסי וכל זיקני ארץ וצי וחיל ביש יסי ואיכו וביסורי רק טפום וציינום ובקורום עוז וברץ גשו ויאל אימי גם רכב גם פרושי וימח נקובת מיד ויובאו עד גרן ואוטות אשר בעבר הירדן ויספדו שום מספד גודל וחובד מיד ויעס לאובי ועבר שיבה סיומים listen carefully ויער ישי ואורץ זה סיד הקנעני דפריזי הקנעני Esso evil, begeren ortot, vayemer evil kovet zel mitzrayim. It's very serious. Al kein korosh mei ovel, mitzrayim asha bevera yadim. So it means we are now included not only Jews, not only the shivim nefesh, shiyordim yankim mitzrayim, there are more than shivim because they multiplied. So it means that that Shiva is obligating on Bnei Neach, too? If it was Al-Pidin Atele, it should have been limited to Joseph, his brothers, and their children, and that's all. But the Torah says, "Vayas lo'obim evil shivas yomim." I mean, prima facie, it is an all-inclusive sentence. It's "Vayas lo'obim evil." Who participated in that evil? Who? Who? Bonavnu. Bonavnu. Boshtetoch otovil mitzrayim. It says Ovil Mitzrayim. Vaya Yeshu Oretz Aknane is Ovil, Vayas Lovim Ovil, Evil Shivas Yomim, Vaya Yeshu Oretz Aknane is Ovil Bediran Otot, Vayemer Evil Kovet Zel Mitzrayim. And with regard to that evil, the Pasuk said before, Shivas Yomim. Since the Yeshu Oretz made a mistake. And he thought that the Rovel is not a Jewish procession of mourning. But what? But in Egyptians, apparently, Adarvayas Loviv Evel Shivas Yomim includes not only Yosef and his brothers and his descendants, his children, but all Mitzrayim, the vice president of Mitzrayim, the chairman, the speaker of the house, all of them, to maintain that Yosef told them to observe Shiva, it was a little too much. Interesting is that the Ram says, Yom Rishon is only minatera only the only day which one is obligated, Rahman al Islam, to mourn the passing of his relative, his Shiva Kraven. But there's an Emma Batera, this is Lashon Ram, if you want, you can check. But there's an Emma Batera, Vayas Lobi, Vayas Shiva Siamim, apparently the mocker is Shiva Siamim, so need not Tera when it's Hatcha Aloha. It's good, huh? But the Tera in Ishmini, is Vachalti Chatos, it refers to one day only. Aine. So apparently Tanin is less only one day. Here it refers to 7 days. So the Ram did not tear of Nishat Shalom. True, before Matan Tere the Jews observed 7 days, but the Tere came and abandoned the institution of Shiva, and instead introduced another institution, namely what? Yemechot, on the contrary, she abandoned the institution of Shiva and introduced the institution of Aninus, what's Yemechot. Yes, it's all right. But the question is, yeah, but the Rambam is interested. So all right. So the Rambam says, Nit not Erev Nishat Shaloh. And then, in the same breath, he says, Umeish Rabbeinu Tikin Lehem Shiva Simei Averis. Meshe Rabbeinu. Suddenly he reminds himself that Meshe introduced this tree. Meshe not Mipiagure, but Meshe Beteras Sanhedrin. Meshe is a Mechachme Yisroel. Not Mipiagure. Mipiagure, Meshe couldn't introduce what he was not told by Kodesh Baruch. Meshe Tikin Lehem Yisroel Shivas Yimei Aveles V'Shivas Yimei Amishtim. But the Rambam in general, by association, he was writing about Aveles, so he had to mention Umeishe Tikin Lehem LeYisrael. Shiva Simei Amishte, Shiva Simei Aveles, Shiva Simei Amishte, Shiva Simei Amishte, Shiva Simei Aveles. It's just by coincidence. Why did he mention Umeishe? I'm not interested who actually introduced, who legislated the Aloha for half 7 days. Whoever did, he had authority to do it, and that's all, goodbye. No, the Ram mentions Meshes. When he's misrakeach, when he argues with the genim akadmenim, so he says Umeshet Tikin Lehem Yisroel. So Yerushalmi. So what is actually the connection, the associate, the link between Shiva Simei Aveles and Shiva Simei Amishtim? What is the link actually? No, just because this is 7, that is 7. It makes no sense. there's apparently a common link, a common denominator in Shiva Simei Averis and Shiva Simei Mishnah. I would like to know what it is. What is this common denominator? You see? Interesting is something else. I mean, I believe that Hilchos Avodah should be known to all of you. I mean, because there are good shiurim, but which I said in Avodah, it's gotten 30 years ago, are still circulating right here in the yeshiva, are being circulated right here in the yeshiva. There is another, huh? What do you say? They are here. Just a moment. Yeah. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash. Very strange Rambam. In a word, the Rambam shittis that Shiva Yemei Avodah play no role. The institution of Shiva is only an institution Medivrei Chachomim, Medivrei, not Medivrei. Correct? This is the Rambam in his polemic with the Gaonim. Yes. So a novel or a veles midrashi is only one day. However, a veles midrabbanon less, how much? How long? 7 days. Right. Take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash. Does anybody have a Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash? Alright, read it loud. The Ram says that a novel cannot send its korban to Beis Hamikdash. In other words, a novel is not a ben hakodem. He cannot be a bailim of korban. Nu saveres according to Rambam, how long couldn't he? I mean, if I had been asked, and I wouldn't have known the Rambam in Beis Hamikdash, I would know only the Rambam in Hilchos Ovel. I say Ovel in Meshaleich Korbanos. Ovel is not a bailim. He is not a Meshaleich Korbanos. Even if he will not enter the Beis Hamikdash, he cannot send the korban. For how long? What would you say? For how long? For 1 day. But the second day you can send the korban. Why? Why could he send the second day a korban? Because there's not a novel anymore. There's not a novel anymore. But what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Bias Mikdash? Kol Shiva Simei Avel. So the question is a simple one. Mareinu v'Rabbeinu, tell us. Is 1 day is a novel or 7 days? If it's 1 day a novel, why did you pass me? Why did you decide that a novel is Mishaleich called Bonus, called Shiva, or 7? If it's 7 days a novel, why shouldn't you observe the 7 days of the Dinter? No. Yes, no. Now you spin. Yeah. So what you know? Apparently at the Rambam, when the Rambam speaks, in the Hesed, may I plagiarize myself? When the Rambam speaks, excuse me. When the Rambam speaks in Perek Aleph and states without any doubt on his part the thesis that Avodah consists of 1 day only, so Perek Aleph Mechosov Laloche Aleph. So the Rambam speaks about what over? So what is what difference is there? The Rambam speaks about the observance of Isur Avodah. New, correct? Observance of Isur Avodah. Rechitze, Shtiye, Nilza Sandu, Talmud Tere, Mischere, and et cetera, et cetera. That's the drama. A novel is not supposed to take off his shoes, midraise, only more than, longer than within, than a day. And there is no new Avodah. The Isur Avodah are not binding on the second day, but the research is limited to the first day. That's the Rambam. In Bias Migdash, what does the Rambam speak about it? I see. It's not the Bias Migdash, what does the Rambam speak about? About Rechitze, Shtiye, Nires HaSandlo? You wouldn't say so. About Korbonis. Korbonis is a Iser in Aveles. Rechitze is a Iser in Aveles. Talmud Torah is an Iser in Aveles. Etc. Nires HaSandlo is a Iser in Aveles. Simchas Mereus is a Iser in Aveles. And so forth. Isurim is only one day, but Shiluach Korbonos is not to be found among Isurovel. The Ram has Isurovel has only 11 or 10. How many? 11.
11.
This aloha in Kom that a novel that Gavri Afaveres cannot be a balakom. To be a balakom and send a kom to the Bishamirish. At the same time, be a balaveres. A gavre of Abedis are mutually exclusive. If you bring a korban and come to the Abedis Boro, Vikim is Korbonet in Hashem, the gavre is a novel. This is excluded. It's not because a novel is also be Korbonet. A novel is not also be Korbonet. It's not forbidden, but simply it cannot become a Baal HaKorban. A Mishaliach Korbonet. Because Korbonet in Abedis are a tarte de sasa. In other words, the Ramban's psak is that as long as we talk about Isurei Ovel, so Avelis is limited to what period? To one day. The very moment we speak about a Gavre Anovel, a Gavre, not who observes Avelis, the Gavre within himself is Anovel. Because as I told you many times, that Avelis is Akiyum Shebelev. All right, we have a list of Isurim, but all Isurim express one idea, one experience, namely, see, Avelis Mamish, depression, to be subdued, and so forth, to be sad, and to cry, I mean, Rahman al-Itzlan. Avelis simply emotion, Avelis with all its emotional attributes, against its emotional background. This is the kiyum shebelev in Averes. Is a gavre who is supposed to be a novel belev, not the maizet condition, but belev. It means he, as a person, he should feel Averes, should experience Averes. This is a tata de sasa. A gavre, a novel is Averes is an attribute of the person. Less how long? 7 days. It means there are say, Bemes is according to the Ramda two concepts of Avelis. Gavre a novel. A gavre is a novel. There's nothing to do with his sword. But for instance, when the Gemara asks, Yontev, the Gemara says, a Yontev there's no Avelis. Why is there no Avelis on Yontev? Because Ose, Ese, the Raisa Vesamachto Bachagecho, Ese the Rabbim, excuse me, Vedochi Ese the Yochid. The evil Yochid Asilo. Asilo. That's what Gemara says. But I will ask Gemara a simple question. Is there a Raisa to take off the shoes on Yontev? I have never heard. Of course, I wouldn't think much of a person who run around in stockings, in his socks, on the Erev Yontev in the morning when he's supposed to be in shoes. I wouldn't appoint him as a Rav Rosh in Eretz Yisrael, but say a Yisra, there's no Yisra, what kind of an Yisra is there? Is there an Yisra to sit on the floor? One can sleep on the floor. Is there an Yisra not to wash one's face on Yonte? There's no Yisra. So why does the Gemara say as Yontef and Avelis don't reconcile, cannot be reconciled? That the Gav, the Avelis, the Yontef, Avelis, Yontef is the essay of Yontef, Mesomachto Bechagecho, overrules Avelis. Why does the Gemara say it? What's the answer? It's not that the practice of Simchas Yontef and practicing Aveles cannot theoretically be visualized. No, it isn't true like that. It's true. I could visualize a Jew who is mekayim the mitzvah from Simchas Yontef, walking around without shoes and not without washing his face, and even to carry the kriya, the tear in front of him. I can make. But together, they have to express what? All the Yisurim together, what do they have to express? A gavriano, the experience of Aveles. And this is impossible in Yontef. Yontef in Aveles, Atartel is Asra. The same as what shall I say, as Korb in Aveles, Atartel is Asra. It does not depend upon Nihu Gavriano, but it depends upon Avile Shebelev. Shebelev within the personality. Emotionally, he cannot do both. Either the Yem is one of Aviles, or the Yem is one of what? Absolutely. To have a Yem, to be counted, imagine, to be counted in the Malays, in the senses, among the Yisurei Ovel. At the same time, count the day as a day of Yontef. This is nonsense. This is not logical. This is plain nonsense. That's what the Gemara said: as Aveles Shebelev, as Simcha is Deiche. What? Aveles Deiche. We have two concepts: Aveles the Isuri Aveles or Niyug Aveles. We have also a concept of what? Gavra Faveles. Gavra Faveles. New Gavriel lasts how long? One day. The Narno said the Enes, Haninas. The Gavra is Enes only one day. At night, after Shkis Chamu, is not an Enes Midrash. It's enough. But Aveles less. Aveles, it depends what kind of Aveles. The Isur Aveles is one day. But a Gavri Anovu is 7 days Midrashim. It's 7 days Midrashim. That's why the Rambam Paskus has Rechitze, Shtir, Rechitze, Dorten Kibus, Nilsa Sandro, Talmud Tere, and so forth, is less than one day. New Gavri is one day. But Ovelin and Meshaleach Korbonet is like Yontef. Is it less? How long? How long does it last? Kol Shir. Yontef is also called any day, not only the first day breaks up. This is the right. The Rambam discriminates between Gavri of Aveles and Isur Aveles. Listen carefully. And as far as Isur Aveles are concerned, is there, they last me din tere, they last how long? Yeah, no, Isur Aveles. But I mean not Isur Aveles, I mean the state of Aveles, the state of Matzav Ruach of Aveles. Shiva Shem, there's no steer. No. And that's why Yasle, Oliv, Evil, Shiva Shem, does not mean Isur Aveles. What does the Shir? And I told you that Isur Aveles are practiced. Isur Aveles, how does one practice Isur Aveles? By behaving in accordance, in compliance with these 11 Isurim, which the Gemara listed, I mean, mentioned, enumerates for Aveles. Yeah. How is not new Aveles, but the Aveles as Aveles Shebelev, the experience of Aveles. How is it? How do you practice it? Huh? It is through Aveles to practice simply by mourning for the other. The Gemara is Shleisha Lepri has a list. 3 days for crying, Shiva. For nothing, Hesper Shiro. And Shleishim and Arab and Novi Vime Yudbeis. This is means when you say Novi Vime Yudbeis, Ulacha Yudbeis Cheder, says the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, you shouldn't mourn for father and mother. You should come to a stop. Memele, we understand what is the Shir Shiveta. We have now two shiurim, two standards by which you measure Avelis. In Suri Avelis you measure by what? By one day. So it's less than one day. The Gavra of Avelis, Avelis is an experience. Avelis Shebelev is 7 days. Well, could you explain to me why did such a big difference? Was introduced in the concept of Avelis. Apparently like that the Tere has as the Rambam says, Meisher Rabbeinu Tikkun Lehem LeYisrael Tiklam Israel, Shiva Simea Mishte, Shiva Simea Veres. The Rambam says. Since the Torah mentions, Vayas Lo'oviv, Eivel, Shiva Siyomi, let us take Nikno Torah V'Nishat Shaloha. Let us assume. But the Torah mentions, Vayas Lo'oviv, Eivel, Shiva Siyomi, who was it? Yesev HaTzarim. So it has meaning, apparently. It has meaning. Nitnotira min ischat shaloch. All right, Rambam right. Nitnotira min ischat shaloch. But why did the Torah say before the Lord ischat shaloch? Why did the Torah say that Avelis is shiva yomim? Shiva yomim. Who said it? Not Lobo, not Esav. Yosef said it. So apparently there is some meaning. All right, nitnotira min ischat shaloch. The Shiva Siyomim are not binding. The 7 day period is not binding. Binding is only the first, but not more than 1 day. But if the Torah mentioned it, and now I'll ask another question. What is actually the Shiva Siyomim Mishnah? Meisher Rabbeinu Tikkun. But it's very funny, Meisher Rabbeinu Stakoni is mentioned that. He mentioned the Chumash. Malei Shavu Azeis and Yitun Chagam HaShniyah. The one who mentioned it was not a Bikovi Dikarid, like Yisrael Tzadik, but the Torah recorded his words. It's enough for me. Since the Torah has recorded his words, apparently that Shiva Simei Amish, they have some meaningfulness, some significance. Never mind Lovan. He guessed it right. But this is Teras Meisher. Nishat Shaloch. Now you don't have to celebrate Shiva Simei Mishte. I mean, Shiva Simei Mishte, the way we celebrate it in the United States. Shiva Simei Mishte. We don't have. The United States, quite often, I mean, I must tell you, I like it. The fact that you give a reception to each boy who gets married during his time at the yeshiva. Okay. It's very nice, it's Gmilus Chesed. Sameach Hoshul Lekala, it's Gmilus Chesed. But the question is, who is the one who mentioned it? The first one was Lovan, Malish Uwezeh. So apparently there is meaning to it. There is meaning there's a purpose. What does the Shiva Yomim in Avelis and the Shiva Yomim in Simchas Rosh Mekale, what do they represent? What do they represent? In Niyug, in Avelis, certainly not, because there is no Niyug. Be'emes, Simchas Rosh Mekale and Shiva Simei Avelis have something in common. In general, in the motivation, in the emotional motivation that makes, it causes a person encourages a person to cry when Rahman al-Islam, someone of his family died, makes it and generates also a desire for joy, for rejoicing, for rejoicing and dancing and singing when one gets married. Because marriage and avilis and death, the experience of marriage and the experience of death is one, when one is confronted, Rahman al-Islam, sooner or later everybody is confronted with that. And also, I mean, the Shiva Semiya Mishte, 7 days rejoicing, singing and dancing, casting off all our obligations and responsibilities, and all is also the Meloche. Both avelis and the excesses, sometimes completely ridiculous, nonsensical joy which we experience in the time of a chassidut, the time of marriage, is just an expression of one great tragic experience of man, loneliness. If man hadn't been lonely, if man hadn't been a mortal being but an immortal being, he would not mourn the passing. There would be no need to mourn, and he would not rejoice so much at the marriage. Because the man's desire to marry somebody else, the Torah had explained, is the levade. The levade is actually, the levade is the greatest is the greatest tragedy. In order to feel that man should understand and not completely completely overwhelmed by what happened to him, but by the event which he couldn't change. In order that man is necessary the inavilis mourning, because in mourning one finds peace of mind. I understood the significance of Shiva, the significance of avilis, when I had to sit to observe avilis from my father. It was the first time I observed avilis. I realize it's not a virus. It's a cathartic, cleansing experience. If Chazal hadn't introduced this experience and the Torah hadn't told us about this experience, 1 day, 7 days, we should have introduced this experience ourselves. People don't understand what Nichum Avelin means to know. They don't understand. That's why the Torah imposed upon. That Nichum Avelin is particularly almost cruel. I mean, the emotional state of the loneliness, or the vacuum which was created by death, is very cruel, is excruciating. In order to find himself, and Yitzhak said, let him observe Avelis. And the same on the other hand, that's why man wants to join someone else, because man is mortal, man is lonely. So Yitzhak said, yeah, let him enjoy it. Even though the joy at the marriage is an illusion. You know, Chazal tells the story in Brochus, there was a wedding by Meimar's son. You know, the old Gemara. And the Kechose Rabbonon did mitzvah. And the Rabbonon are overjoyed, not just rejoice, but overjoyed. So he sang the tune. Eilon de Misno, Eilon de Misno. Vow to us that we are mortal. Vow to us we are mortal. Or he took the glass and broke it. What did it manifest? People should not forget themselves in joy, and people should not forget themselves in a time of tragedy and distress. People should not forget. We are entitled to a certain measure of joy at uncertain occasions, like marriage. We are entitled to a certain measure of availability, of mourning, grief, and sadness. We think that man is entitled to joy, man is entitled to avarice. But what the Torah is always being concerned with, we should not misunderstand his rights, should not exaggerate his right to mourn, to grieve, and to complain, and to ask questions like, you are not, why this, why that, he's entitled, but up to certain degree. When he reaches the maximum border, the border, he reaches, a certain level of emotional excitement, so he should stop. The Rambam says, the Rambam is a paraphrase of the Gemara, but the Rambam says beautifully. It's a paraphrase of the Gemara. Kol ha-misabu ha-lames poches yesa medai as a shit, a tipish shari-misabu al tekunin shalil al nanu al what does it call al minhoge shalil v'chol ha-misabu al minhoge shalil as a tipish, a shit, what does it say? As a tipish, it is correct. You cannot change the world. Rabbeinu Shlom created it. This is the way the world goes. He does. But the Rambam says, "V'chol ha-misabu, v'chol she-misabu al-meisei." But the Rambam finishes the Rambam. "V'chol mishen misabu al-meisei." Arze arzore. Yeah, this is on the other hand, indifference, what we are accustomed to say, if he is in a stoicism, as far as ethics is concerned, is again, he's arzore, it's cruelty. is cruelty. I could never understand that when Robert Kennedy was murdered by the Arab slave, and the mother was told about it, so she went to some tailor to prepare a dress for the morning service which will take place in the cathedral. This is what Ram meant by our Zohar. This is exactly, if you want an example, this is the best example. How is it possible for a woman who lost a daughter and lost two sons? One son was drowned in the English channel and so forth. She lost a few and still think in terms of fashion about the dress she will wear at the service in the church for his soul. This, but however, this is modern morality. I'm sorry to say so, it is not. On the other hand, to move in the opposite direction and do the opposite thing, namely to exaggerate the mourning and to act like crazy men. I mean, and now you see what happened. What's his name? I'll tell you frankly. I'll tell you frankly. Yeah. I didn't know the name. So how do I remember learning? Because I made a memory. I know Lenin. I'm telling you the truth. I know the Lenin. I can't forget him if I wanted to. And this is similar to Lenin. The only difference is it is two N's and O. And Lenin is one N and an I. Did you see what modern America carried on? That's what the Navelis wanted us to act in times of distress, as well as in times of excitement and ecstasy, rapture, logically in accordance with certain rules that they are, the standards that they have formulated. And this is the Shiva Shamim we may open over, and the Shiva Shamim we may understand. One Shiva Shamim, you can express emotions if you are tense because you are emotionally upset or excited, on the contrary, emotionally happy. But you cannot do it, I mean, continually. And say I'll mourn 25 days, no? This is already 25 days. Not Shleishim, on the contrary, 50 days. It comes already under the old Greek, Kolamisabu, or Tivish Leilam, as it is. On the other hand, I cannot say, I'll rejoice by seven. Seven multiplied by seven. It's very pleasant, I mean, you dance, and you have an orchestra. I don't know whether they have snaps there. But no, you cannot say that. It's the same Meisher Rabbeinu. Particularly Yisroel, Shiva Simei Avilis, Tikin, Shiva Simei Avilis. It's one idea. The idea is that experiences should express themselves, emotional experiences. At the same time, we shouldn't limit them. We should limit them. Not to cross the boundary line separating hysteria from real enjoyment or from real despair. Sometimes you become hysterical. How long this year, how long should it take? What is the boundary line? Shiva. And this is Adin Deraisa. Lachashiva, for instance, if Lachashiva, if he should continue with the as far as Avedis are concerned, continue and cultivate the experience and promote it, so then I violate, the Takonis Meshe Rabbein, only Shiva Siyam. The Meshe said Shiva means Shiva not less, and Shiva means not more. And this is the same, this applies, this is applies to Chosin Tachas Chuposei, and now Mishu Meshe Mutle from it. This is the same. That's what the Rambam says. It is correct, the Rambam. Observance of Isurim, it means by which you express what you express. Your state of mind is Shiva. But it doesn't mean that all Shiva Yom should be used up for that. Midraisha, Minatere, Midivreya, it is like that. As long as you are capable of expressing, manifesting your state of mind, through what? Your state of mind, your experience of it, through niyuk. Niyuk, and it is considered akiyu midraisa. It's no chayva midraisa, but as akiyu. Once Shiva Yomim come to an end, this is not avedis anymore. Avedis need to be expressed in niyuk, but it's still avedis as an experience. Still avedis as an experience. But there is no problem. Because the Shiva Siyomim is a shiur. Up to seven, you are obligated to observe. Beyond seven, there is no observance. There is no observance. Because beyond seven, people do not manifest. They are quieter and do not manifest their inner feelings through words or through also physical activity, also emotional reaction. This is after seven. Within seven, you are obligated only to, you are obligated to what? After seven, new gaveres mit rabbonim mit reishu, one day is enough. In the new gaveres. But at the same time, the gaver is still a gaver novel. Because the Avedi Shevelev is still prevails until seven and then goes up to ten. This is basically the Shita Sarambam I want to tell you. It's very important because this is a Yesod in Yahadus. How Yahadus relates it, considers emotional life in the problem of emotional experience of avarice, of sadness and grief, at the same time of joy like calm. Is if the genim akadmeinim arai, so in this parsha, the parsha of Yesef is one of what? Of avarice. But avarice is here not just limited to the experience of avarice alone, but it applies to Simcha as well. It means when you have cause for emotional excitement, or you have cause for emotion, for despair, how much do you have to express? How long should you observe it, or express yourself, or manifest yourself? This is aloha from Evel Shiva Yomim, which applies to Shiva on the one hand, and to Shiva Simcha Mishnah on the other hand. That's why the Rambam quoted Shiva Simcha Mishnah in Nobel. As far as the Chumash is concerned, this is just I try to explain to you what it is. Yeah, if you go on, Bayal Yesif Ligber Esavim, Vayalo yite kolav de fare. Zikne Vesei V'chil Zikne Eretz Mitzroyim. Pay attention. Please, pay attention. V'yal Yosef Ligber Esavim. V'yalu Yitei Kolavdei Mitzrayim. Kolavdei Farim. Zikne Vesei V'chil Zikne Eretz Mitzroyim. V'chil Beis Yosef V'echov U'Vesoviv Raktapam V'Tzeinam U'Vekorom Oz V'Eretz Geshem. It's very strange. He says, "Vayalu yite kolav difari, zik neveise v'chil zik ne'aretz Mitzrayim." And then says, "Vayom v'chil beis Yosef, v'echov v'beis Soviv." They all went with Yosef. It should have been differently. "Vayal Yosef ligibra Soviv, vayalu yite kolav di Mitzrayim, zik neveise v'chil zik ne'aretz Mitzrayim, vayal Yosef ligibra Soviv, v'chil beis Yosef, v'echov v'beis Soviv." He is like that. He starts with Yosef, interrupts the pasuk, and begins to tell us the story of what Adav the Pari accompanied, and then he comes back to Yosef and he says, "V'chil beis Yosef v'echov beis Soviv, raktapa motzeinam ufkorom ozu be'eretz Geshem." And then says, "V'yal imi gam rechev gam poroshim v'yamach nekov v'neiv." ויובאו עד גר הנאותות אשר בעבר היען ויספדו שום מספד גודל ויחובד מעיד ויער יסלו אוביב עבר שבע סיימים ויער ישף הארץ ויסו וונב ליקן כאשר צוון. It's very strange. The answer is that the Torah speaks of two, so to say, funerals. Of two different groups. The first is Vayala Yesiv Ligibra Saviv. And let me read straight. Vechil Beis Yesiv Echov Uveis Saviv Raktapom Vetzeinam Uvkorom Ozu Beretz Geshem Vayal Imei Gam Grecha Gam Poroshim Vayia Machne Kovid Meid. It starts with what? With the Avelim. Which Avelim? Yosef and his brothers. And then he tells right away, he tells us that the Avdi Farah joined them, but it was a separate funeral march, so to say. Then he comes back to Yosef, to the original, because we are not interested in Pharaoh's reaction to Yosef's death. V'yal imi gam rechev gam poroshim V'yi amach nekovet meid. V'yal imi gam rechev gam poroshim. This is imi with Yosef. V'yi amach nekovet meid. V'yoveyu adgir enootot. Asha beivar hayadim. V'yispidu shom mispid godol v'chovet meid. Who did it? Not both. Jojod Avdi Mitzrayim. Because you have it. V'yisu. He interested it. Then, Vayah Yeshiv Oretz Aknane Israel Beger Noti, but he mistook the evil for Mitzrayim, Beger Noti, Vayemer Evil Zekovet Mitzrayim, Alkin Koroshmo Abel Mitzrayim, Aba Vayas Lovi Veil Shivas Yamim, is the group which accompanied Jacob, I mean, who belong to the Beis Yeshiv, Beis Yaakov, because you'll have it, go around them. Vayasu vonov lekein kasha tziva. No, it says, Vayisu eisu vonov, Arzok nan, Vayigibru eisu bimoras lea machpelo. In other words, as the Zikne Mitzrayim went back to Mitzrayim. I mean, from the border of Eretz Knan and Mitzrayim, at the border, they bid farewell to the Bavelim. And the Yosef and his brothers, I mean, continued because they had to complete the burial. But the Zikne Mitzrayim, I mean, returned much earlier. By Yoshev Yosef Mitzrayim, who ve'echo v'chol ha'ilim yisei ligber esoviv achre kovri esoviv esoviv. Here he speaks about Yosef. The Zikne Mitzrayim returned. So basically there's a story of two avelets. One of the Avelis of Yosef and the Shivim Nefesh and the Shiyod, the Beis Yaakov, then Vayas Yisef Shivas Yom, or Vayas Lovi Vayvel Shivas Yom. There's another story, how Pharaoh sent a delegation, I mean, consisting of Mitzrayim, to represent him at the funeral exercise, so to say. They, I mean, you know, like it is still this is etiquette. You send somebody, he comes, if you know, bids, I mean, pays respect, and goes back. The real Avelim, I mean, observe, I mean, are busy with the burial, and the real Avelim, I mean, continue until the burial is complete. This is what the story, but yes, Lord, the way she was coming, refers to Yosef and his brothers, and their descendants exclusively. Because the Torah, you see, speaks about Yosef, interrupts and tells us about Pharaoh, and then tells us about the mistake that the Yeshua had made, that the Mitzrayim lost somebody prominent. Of course, and this intensified their effort to mourn the Pesach of Jacob, because they thought it's not the just an individual guy, but someone great in Israel. So the kasha from Vayas Lo Beveivel Shivas Yamim is not kasha. If you go very carefully through the text, you see how the Torah speaks about Yosef, breaks up the story about Yosef, and tells us about the attitude and the reaction of Yitzchak, of the Mitzrayim toward Jacob's passing, and then comes back to Yosef. If you read it carefully, it's not, I mean, I didn't try to force it in. You see that those are the psukim. Point out that there were two kinds of Avelis. And you understand very well that the Mitzrayim, the Avelis of the Mitzrayim and the Avelis of Beis Yaakov were different. It was not one identical act of mourning. I mean, they differed in many regards. In the middle of the Rambam, but the Genim quoted, "Nit natira v'neschat shaloch," because the Genim interpreted "Vayas le'evi le'lovi le'evi shvisam" refers exclusively to what? Refers exclusively to Yosef and not to the Mitzvah. Interesting is, when we speak about it, interesting is something else that I want to say. Yeah. Why did Pharaoh actually cry and mourn so much for them? You see very well, as Vayalim Gam Rechav Gam Poroshim, that Yosef wouldn't have commanded the respect, I mean just because his father died. That apparently someone told the Rechav Poroshim to accompany Jacob, Yosef, and officially to express the condolences, and apparently the Davilis was well organized, the ceremonial of the Avelis, which the Mitzvah prepared for Jacob. Apparently, as the Yeshua Orat should make a mistake, not to understand that this is Jacob, to all the Yaakov, I mean, they remembered him. So apparently that the Avelis of the Mitzvah were very intense, and there was not much difference between the Avelis of Yosef and the Avelis of the strangers. But it's very difficult. Why was Paros so involved? By Yovei Adgir and Otet, this is the Mitzvah. Bevar Yaden, Vayispidu Shom, Mispid Godel V'Chovet Mei, Vayar Yeshiv Oretz, Mispid Godel V'Chovet Mei, ויהיה ישו אורץ הכנעני אשר איבל בגרן האותות, ויאמר איבל כובד זו למצרים. somebody great, somebody important has died, and that's why the Mitzrim are almost hysterical in their reaction to the news item that a great man died. So that apparently if everything would have been staged by Pharaoh and the Mitzrim for protocol reasons, etiquette reasons, the misspeed wouldn't have been misled as to the identity of the person who died. He would have understood the fact that the Yeshiva Oretz confused the identity of the Jew with that of the identity of the misspeed. Is apparently the misspeed was sincere. Why? Why? Why was the misspeed sincere? I don't believe that in the case of the honor they gave Yaakov, the respect they gave him, is reminiscent of a royal funeral. Of a funeral in his, a royal funeral. Otherwise, what was the excitement? Ibn is the one who actually raised this question, is the Zaya. You see that the Mitzvim were involved and they realized the disaster of the event which happened, namely the death of Jacob. There was no need for the Mitzvim to study Torah under Yaakov. They didn't miss Yaakov's Torah. So what did they miss in Yaakov? Here is something which is strange, which sounds strange. The Mitzrim did not understand Yaakov, no doubt about it. But one thing they felt intuitively, that he is a great man. That's what they felt intuitively. Sometimes simple people, Jews, non-Jews, simple people, and they are attracted by someone whom they don't understand. And nevertheless, the attraction is so strong, they simply begin to worship the person whom they admire. And if we should confront them with the question, so why? I would answer, I can't explain you why they were attracted by Jacob. They certainly did not abstract. They did not understand him. But sometimes it's an intuitive approach which you cannot explain. The Mitzrim suddenly, on the day on which Yaakov died, so the Mitzrim began to realize what a great man he was. They didn't know already about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Jacob and the chosen community with Jacob, who was one of the founders. They didn't understand all that. All that was too far from the Egyptian Ashkaf HaSalem world formula. This was a pagan, this was the Egyptian formula. It was rooted in paganism, in all its ugly reflections. But nevertheless, somehow, he realized, Pharaoh and many of his advisors, that a great man is up here. And you find it in a matter of fact. You find it in history, in Jewish history, you find it very well. That certain rulers, certain great political leaders, statesmen, didn't like us. But this doesn't mean they liked us. They liked us. He didn't like us, and nevertheless, they were, I would say, not afraid, but they stood in awe for the Jew. They were not even Israel. But still, this is actually, this property is, this property basically, this kind of understanding, without this kind of respecting a person, without understanding him, this is typical of the Ashkafas Olam of the Jew. Not understand the person quite often, but respect him, because I feel there is some intuitive, I feel there is greatness from my eyes. And that's what happened to Pharaoh after the death of Jacob. Of course, such understanding always comes, not always, in many cases comes, after the other person had died, after the death of the other person. As long as the person is around, you don't think of him in analytical terms. But once he's dead, you begin to ask yourself, who was it? Who was it? According to Keheles, the way the Medrash interprets, is the question, who was he, is never asked while a person is alive. Never. Who is he? Is my neighbor. How much money does he earn? $100 a week. And so forth on. The first question addressed to people about an individual comes up with his death. One died, so ask him, who was it? But usually, but there are exceptions to this rule too. And this is a typical question. And Pharaoh apparently realized the greatness of Jacob after Jacob died. And that's what Isaiah answers. After Jacob's death, he realized who he lost a great person. But anyway, that's why he issued the instructions that Jacob be accompanied by, be given a state funeral. Because here, reading the parsha from Jacob's Kure, you get the impression that Avelim was not Yosef and his brothers, but Pharaoh and Zikni Mitzrayim. It's a strange idea. We find something else similar to that. When Yosef addressed himself to the brothers, when he was about to reveal his identity. Says Vakil Nishma Bispare Vayita Vadova Benayim. And then Pharaoh told Yosef he should send a letter to his father and brothers, they should come as soon as possible to Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh promises from the Yigash that he'll give Jacob and his household, will give Bemeitav Oretz, the best of the land. Why was Pharaoh so excited about Jacob coming to Mitzrayim? He had to study there under Jacob. Why was he so excited? And he sent Agolis a special gift. Agolis apparently the first ones who invented the technique of Agolis, to build Agolis, were the Mitzrayim. And the Agolis apparently was the symbol of their state symbol, the symbol of the state of the Empire of Egypt. We find a similar expression in Oz Yoshia, Sus Verech V'Roma Bayom. What is Sus Verech V'Roma Bayom? Because the Sus was the animal which the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, have trained for war. The Sus, for instance, the animal as the indefensible weapon, the most advanced weapon, like the nuclear bomb nowadays, is the Sus Verechve. This is the the animal, the sus, the animal is, was trained for war, and they like Hannibal. I mean, he had the elephant trained for war, and he almost defeated the Roman Empire because they were not used, the Roman soldiers, no matter how good an army they were not used to fight elephants with the long noses. They almost lost the war. Who wins the war? Who comes up with a surprise and weaponry? The first war was won by the Allies, not by Germany, because of the tank. Germany had no tank. The tank was invented by Englishmen. So they lost the war. The second war was lost because of the nuclear bomb. At least as far as Japan is concerned. Perhaps they would have won the war anyway, but it would have dragged down for a couple of years. It was a surprise weapon. Now a nuclear bomb is not a surprise weapon. Any husband and wife at war with each other in the kitchen could throw nuclear bombs now. Is the American government interested in the safe devices, how to prevent catastrophes? You know how much of that's worse. That every day is a new accident. Is the one who produces a weapon which is unknown to the enemy who wins the war. The Romans who won their war because they had what they call it in English, they had in order to tear down a wall at the field. What? I don't get it. I can't pronounce it. Betteringram, correct, yeah. Betteringram. That's why they won the war in in Eretz Yisrael. If you read Josephus, the Betteringram actually was the weapon for which they actually conquered Yerushalayim. So it's quite interesting. I mean, it's just a Mamar HaMuzga, a parenthetical remark. She was a Betamus who mourned the fall of the wall. Of the wall in Nifko here. Nifko here. Now, how far is from the wall, the site on which the wall was, to the Beis HaMikdash, the Harabai? Huh? 7-8 minutes, I mean, walking. How long did it take the Remoim? 3 weeks. So apparently that every stone was defended with blood. And the Mitzvim had to sacrifice almost an army in order to conquer Yerushalayim with someone the distance of which can be covered by 6 or 7 minutes walk. When Paris speaks, talking in such terms, I imagine that the Argolis was a production of Paris, production of Egypt. Egypt, the Argolis here, and Sus Verech Verom Bayom in Az Yoshia, it's one weapon. You see, the Argolis plus the Sus. And also in Shmuel, when you speak, not in Shmuel, in Shaftim, when you speak about Sisro, there's also the Argolis in Sisro. So Pharaoh said that he'll send Argolis, which was perhaps the pride of the Egyptians, as far as technology is concerned, he'll send Argolis to bring Jacob and Israel. So apparently he felt that Jacob should come to Israel. And interesting is something else. When Jacob refused to go, and he doubted the veracity of their statement, what did he see in the Argolis which you could not see in the statement, in the message which Joseph sent him. What did he see in the Agolis? So Chazal has changed the Agolis Loshne Egla Rufe. But Pshitishel Mikro, what did he see in the Agolis? Why did Chazal change from Agolis? Why was it necessary? Because otherwise they didn't understand the pasuk. Vayar es ha-golis, v'tchiru achyaki v'aviyam. Why? If he was skeptical and didn't believe the children, what could the agole prove which he was not told by his children? Because Jacob knew that agole is an Egyptian weapon, which most probably is a classified weapon. And the fact that they brought Agolis proves not only that what they say is true, that Joseph's power and might is unlimited. No one else but Joseph, the prime minister, could have gotten the Agolis from Pharaoh. But actually, it's Joseph, in the way the Chumash tells us, Joseph was not interested in the Agolis. Pharaoh was the one who suggested the Agolis. Pharaoh had tremendous unlimited respect for Jacob, and he wanted to get Jacob to Mitzrayim as soon as possible. That's what he told Joseph, write a letter to them and write to them and tell them that I want them to come and they'll settle in the best part of Mitzrayim, irrigation, this is the agricultural territory of Mitzrayim, but come as soon as possible. I mean, you have a Vayigash. Because somehow Pharaoh was attracted by Yaakov. Pharaoh was the one who recognized Yosef as the very talented boy, as a genius. Animtzo ruach asher, animtzo ish asher ruach elikim b'seich ha-komeisho. He actually has not spoken to Yosef at all. Yosef told him that the interpretation is 7 prosperity years of prosperity and 7 years of famine. But whether Yosef said just, it was a guess on the part of Yosef, how he didn't investigate Yosef, interrogate Yosef, what did he mean by it, how does he know that? He was most probably a responsible king. So why did he proclaim immediately, without waiting for any discussion or debate, what debate? He declared immediately, "Animtzo ish asher ruach elokim bei." And called him Avreich and Nitzav Nespaneach, Rakakisi Yigdol Minoch. Where do you find it? Apparently that Yosef's image, he was extremely irresistibly attracted to Pharaoh. Pharaoh realized that here is a great man, a genius, a visionary, and he'll save Mitzrayim. And as a matter of fact, he did save Mitzrayim. That's why when Jacob died, when Yaakov died, so Pharaoh said, this old Jew apparently deserves a state funeral. And the orders were to give Yaakov a state funeral. Rechef, Roshim, all the kinds of weapons, and when Kennedy was murdered, I mean, they dragged all kinds of weapons. Basically, it is important to understand if Jacob hadn't had this attractive, fascinating personality, who knows what would have happened. All Pharaoh had to, you know what Pharaoh had to do in order to prevent the Jews from departure from Mitzrayim much later? You know all he had to do? Not to grant the permission for burial of Jacob in Canaan. Say, if he wants to be buried here, good. but nothing else. Not. And you see, Terre Eretz Knaan apparently was very important in Jacob's plans, because had Jacob been buried in Mitzrayim, so the whole agreement between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole agreement between the Almighty and the Knesset Yisrael would have been invalidated and worthless. Basically, the Chrisas Bris was implemented on the same day on which Jacob was buried in Moshe. You know why? Because when the Oveis left Eretz Yisrael, Jacob and Yeshivim Nefesh, his Dikdusha of Eretz Yisrael was annulled. As far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned. Avraham lived there, so he lived, but he doesn't live anymore. Yitzhak lived there, yes, but now he's not here. Jacob lived, he lived, but you'll stop, but he did answer. But not only lived there, he came back to Eretz Yisrael. That's about the ownership of Eretz Yisrael by Jacob continued. It was not the Yaakov says, the Rambam says, Botla Kibush Bopteva Akdusha. No. The Kvuras Yaakov in Mitzrayim in Moras HaMachpelah confirmed and validated the promise, the Christus Bris made by Abraham. All Pharaoh had to, if Pharaoh had wanted to simply to prevent Jacob's visions from becoming a reality, all he had to say is, if no, if he wants to be buried, I'll give him a state funeral. If he wants to go back to Canaan, so go, but don't come back. He didn't do that, Jacob. Even though he was very much upset by it, embarrassed by it, Pharaoh, how do I know he was embarrassed by it? How do I know that Pharaoh, he didn't tell me anything? Asher Ishbacho, Kasha Tzvipfer, he says, hadn't it been an oath, I wouldn't have let him go. But it's an oath, I don't want to be Mechalda. But you, I don't remember, I told you. Yes, Alan Roy Rothschild, that they're from Paris, told me the following story. There's nothing new in it, but it sheds a light on the story of Jacob in the most wonderful manner, beautiful manner. It's very strange. When the Nodifa Yedua, Nodifa Yedua is Edmund Rothschild. He actually built Rishon LeZion, you know, Rehovot, the wine industry in Eretz Yisrael. All that was developed by the Edmund Rothschild. No, it's called Nodifa Yedua in Eretz Yisrael, not far from Haifa. You have this